Morning, everybody. Bo Mitchell, Bob Belts, you get the blessing. Wake up and stay tuned right to this.
You can understand anything that Elton John just said. You're wide awake.
Solid walls of sound.
We like to start the show with something strange, and nothing could be stranger than Elton, right?
You know, if you try to walk to the bathroom to that tune, it takes a while to get there.
We are glad you joined us today, and we hope that woke you up, because you need to pay attention today, as we do every week on this program. We've got a wonderful guest, and Bob, it's fun meeting all these folks and hearing their stories, isn't it?
We have just had some great guys on, and I'm excited about today and our guest today.
Matthew Sowash. So you're, how do you say it?
Sowash. My old high school principal used to walk down the hall and say, "Hey, Matt, you're dirty, Sowash."
Sowash.
So that kept it easy to remember.
Matthew Sowash, sort of a new friend to us, but so much common ground. We hope to cover it today, and we hope to inspire you and move you to some action as to some great things Matt's involved with around town. So start by just telling us about your life, whatever, however far back you want to go, and whatever you want to include, my friend. That's how we like to do it.
Well, I've always been a small businessman. I've always been the entrepreneurial type that could never sit in one place too long and always wanted to start a new project. And did that for most of my life up to the age of 45, where God told me it's time to slow down a little bit. And at that point, he actually put me in prison. I was sentenced to 5 years in prison at the age of 45 after about 25 years of living a pretty not so proud of lifestyle. I was, I'd say or do anything to get my way in business. And like I said, God finally said, stop. And I was sentenced to 5 years and went to Delta prison up in, the Grand Junction area in Delta, Colorado, where,
white collar like deal, tennis camps, bowling alleys.
We actually had a bowling league up there. It was a softball league, bowling league. We had.
I was joking. They really have that, huh?
We did. I mean, it wasn't like a real bowling alley. I mean, we bowled in the gymnasium, but with a Nerf bowling ball and some plastic pins. But you know, hey, I got a 122 one day. It was a good.
That's
good
unbelievable. How come I didn't think of
that?
I was
a captain of the softball team, and we had a good time up there. Hmm. But
I went to one softball game when I was in prison. We shared my testimony a few months ago here, and it ended up in a full rolling around in the field brawl between the two teams. So I decided maybe exercise, not softball. But yours was okay.
Ours was all right. Our worst part was pulled hamstrings. I mean, I'm a 45-year-old guy that wouldn't drink water on a hot sunny day, and you're rounding third base, and you're just hobbling home, and that's about 20% of the guys are out trying to play that game. But.
So you really think what you were doing, thinking, living was so extreme that your perfect method of sifting that God had for you was prison?
Well, I didn't think it was bad at the time I was doing it. I thought it was great. I mean, I was going to the Playboy Mansion. I was like Mark and I were talking about that earlier, and going to Vegas 2-3 days a week and just living the high life, thinking, you know, the life I was living was the one that was in store for me. But God showed me different. You know, I spent, when you get sentenced to prison in Colorado, you go to a place called DRDC, which is kind of like a processing place to figure out what kind of criminal you are and where they want to send you. And that was when I received my first blessing, where they sent me to a minimum camp where we could bowl and play softball and do all that kind of fun stuff. But really, it was about 3 or 4 days into that system at DRDC when God touched me. He came to me, and the first few days you're there, you're in a cell all by yourself, and it's dark and dirty, and you don't know what to expect, and you don't know what's going on. And I was sitting there one day just mad at the world, just angry, just telling everybody that I'm going to get them. You know, I'm going to get back at everybody that just got me, because that's the kind of person that I was at the time. And I finally got sick and tired of being sick and tired, and reached up to God, and I tell you what, he was there. I mean, I said, "Lord, I can't do this anymore by myself. I need you." Mm. And Man, I can tell you, I could feel Jesus Christ hugging me right at that point. I didn't know what I had at that time. I really didn't. Because, I grew up Catholic, and I knew God. But, you know, I hardly went to church, and, you know, I never read the Bible, so I didn't know what to expect or what this was all about. But I knew I was changed. I felt that hug of Jesus Christ. I knew I was changed. And the one thing I do remember is all I want to do now is figure out a way to serve God. And I didn't know what that meant.
And it really can happen that fast, can it, Bob?
You bet. You bet.
Yeah. And it's the best feeling you ever have. You know, but again, I didn't know. I didn't know what that meant until I started to read the Bible and not read it to finish it, but read it to understand it. Because the first time I read it to finish it. I felt, all right, now, I'm in God's camp, so I got to read his whole book. And I just, right through the book. And then, once you start reading it, you can't put it down. You just keep reading it and reading it every day. And once you get through it the first or second time, then you start reading it to understand it. And that's where the real revelation comes in.
What is the scripture that says it's just not another book, it's alive?
The word of God's living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, the book of Hebrews said.
And it is. You know, I was thinking about this linebacker, star linebacker, all pro, 8 years with the Broncos, and the light you're talking about that came on where you felt the hug of Christ came on for him the morning after chapel on a road trip 4 hours before the football game. And his first thought was, I can't do this anymore.
Wow.
I'm not going to go out and kill people today. And his position coach was like, could we talk about this for a minute? I sort of need you in the game. And
start calling the chaplain. Chaplain, get over here.
Really?
Yeah. I had a buddy that was
a very sweet testimony, and he did get the fact we still can compete, and you're still who you are, but you are changed. And when that light comes on, it doesn't have to necessarily be a bolt of lightning out of the blue. It can be an intellectual conversion over time, or it can be a foxhole conversion or a prison cell conversion. God's waiting, and he makes himself real to us. Excuse me, Bob.
I was just thinking, I had a buddy that was a linebacker for Stanford, and I asked him that question one time because he was a real committed Christian guy. And his answer was, I said, how can you do this? You know, and his answer was, I check out for 4 hours on Saturdays. And I think that's not the right answer, but anyway.
Well, it's funny when you mentioned that, you know, that was the first question I had for God. I said, God, you know, I'm yours now, so how do I serve you? What do I need to do? And the answer was real simple. He goes, Matthew, I've given you all the gifts. I've given them to you. You've just been using them the wrong way. Now use them for me. And, man, it just made all the sense in the world. You know, now, you know, it's not like God hasn't been with me my entire life. He has. And I could have just seen him just sitting there beside me going, when are you going to start doing all these things for me? And so now I have all these business applications that we're doing, fundraising programs, service organizations that we formed through the Encompass Ministry, which I work for. I'm actually the events coordinator for a ministry called Encompass. I work very tightly with another ministry called Strong Tower Ministries, which I was embraced by when I first got out of prison. That's a reentry program.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about that, because we share a mutual friend in Craig. Yeah,
Craig Redd, who's the executive director of Strong Tower, was one of the first people that I met when I came out of prison. And I knew, you know, I had just grown in the faith my whole 10 months while I was there, by understanding more and more what's expected of us as Christians.
By the way, a cool thing God allows there is, before you were put or allowed back out here for the world to quicken its pace on you and attack you with all the things maybe that distracted you before, you let your roots get down a little bit. So when you got back out, you were on solid soil.
That's exactly it. Because I spent that 10 months, because I was sentenced to 5 years. I don't know if I mentioned this, but I only spent 10 months in prison. And that's not heard of too often. And I was definitely in God's favor there.
But anyway, you met Craig and off you went.
Yep. So during that 10 months, I got my roots in Christ and met Craig, and I came out and, you know, Craig's a great guy. And he started this ministry to help guys like us. Cause when I came out of prison, I had nothing, zero, no money. God took it all away, which he had to, cause I wouldn't have given it up. God took all my money. He took my family away from me. He took all my friends away from me, all my business associates away from me. So when I came out of prison, I had nothing but my mom. My mom was always there. My mom's always sending me, you know, cookies and stuff like that. You know, mom, she's 84 years old and she's still sending me stuff like that. But Craig was there too, man. He had this reentry ministry that helps guys coming out of prison. He gave me, You know, just simple things like a backpack. You know, a guy that has nothing coming out of prison, a backpack makes all the difference. A bus pass to get around makes all the difference. And these are the things that I got with Craig. And Craig and I formed a relationship, and we will be brothers till eternity now. And so one of the fundraisers I'm doing for him is we have a concert coming up September 29th with a group called Cloverton. And they have a big single out right now called Take Me Into the Beautiful, which gets some big play on some Christian radio stations, really on all the Christian radio stations. And that's September 29th over at Colorado Community Church. And pretty excited about things like that.
We'll keep
Colorado Community Church. That is a spectacular place. I love that place.
We'll keep talking about that and reminding folks, because that does sound fun. Actually, there's tell them about the opening act, because I think that's a total blast when you...
Well, when we wanted to form some kind of awareness program through a Strong Tower ministry that we can go to different churches with and not just talk about the ministry, but show them some of the amazing things that God does in our lives. So we formed this choir called the Unchained Choir. And I don't know what we are, if we're felons or ex-felons yet. We were just talking about that earlier. But a bunch of us, I'm just going to call us old criminals, got together, and we have 12 of us. And we go up and sing a version of Chris Tomlin's song of Amazing Grace. And when we get up on stage, we sing the first verse of Amazing Grace all together. And then there's a microphone in front of us, and we'll each individually go up and give our DOC number and what our offense was and where we were at the time, if we were lost or...
DOC being Department of Corrections.
Department of Corrections. Okay. And my DOC number is 148259, and that'll be with me for the rest of my life.
You got the BOP and the DOC and the FDIC and the PCI.
I just worry about the JC.
In a way.
So we sing the first version of that, and then we give our DOC number. And then we come up and sing again, and there's a part in that song that talks about our chains are gone. And at that point, we all have chains around our neck with our offense there. You know, thief, you know, liar, whatever we were, we have that around our neck. And when we sing that, we take those chains off, and we shout and scream and yell, and we throw them in a trash can, and then we pick up a new sign of who we are in Christ today.
Wow.
So it's a pretty I cry every time we do it. I cry walking to the bus stop when I'm praying, but...
I got that disease, and it's okay.
I love the text in Corinthians where Paul makes that great statement that if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And we know that there's still, you know, we wrestle and struggle with a lot of the things out of our old life, but the reality is that we're new, you know, you're a new creature when Christ gets a hold of you and begins that transformation process. And that just seems like such a great visual, you know, reminder or metaphor of that spiritual truth that, you know, you were something and Christ got a hold of you and you're something new now. What do you guys hold up when you hold up the new sign? What kind of things are on
there?
Well,
we each have something different, but mine just says loved. I mean, I feel so loved, you know, maybe not always by the people around me, but by God himself and Jesus Christ, who's always there in front of me now. You know, like someone had we were talking in a Bible study once that, you know, we should always have Christ beside us. You know, we should have him beside us. I said, no, we need to get in the back seat and let Christ just take the wheel of the car and let him drive. So let's put Christ in front of us. But,
I want to talk to listeners, though, that hear about your prison experience or mine and think, you know, it's strange, too bad for them, interesting story. And then we say back to them, hey, for all we know, you're in prison today more than we ever were, and you may be in the prison of an addiction or a bad marriage or debt or an employment situation that's just not working for anybody, or you just lost a child, or you have depression, or you have on and on and on. You're trapped in a prison. And Matthew and I can tell you, it's as real as whatever you're feeling when you walk in to these literal prisons and they slam that door and say, I've got one in the trap. And you're thinking, no kidding. Yes, you do. Glad to be on board. So you may feel trapped, and there are places and people, just like Craig was for Matthew and Bob was for me, that want to help you get a full release from that prison. And if you don't know Jesus Christ and have never experienced what Matthew's talking about or what we share on the show every week, I'd say look for the right church, look for the right concert. When's our Cloverton concert here, guys?
September 29th.
September 29th. Expose yourself to what Christ says about himself in the scripture and some of these wonderful people that are going to say, hey, I was in prison, now look at this sign, I'm out.
I'm going just to see these guys. I don't care about Cloverton. I'm sure they're great, but
I'm going because I want to see that building.
That's
I've heard a lot about that
place. Tell them where it is, by the way.
3651 South Colorado Boulevard. It's just where Colorado Community Church is there. It's just off the corner of Hampton and Colorado Boulevard. So kind of behind the Nazarene Church and the Plymouth Congregational Church there. Yeah. Beautiful
great,
place.
Great place. Great place for this kind of an event, too.
And Bo was asking me earlier if he could do a solo at the concert, and I said, sure, so low that we can't hear you. Not a problem, brother.
He even mentioned the back hallway where he'd like me to do that singing. What are you doing in there, Lori? All right. So talking about that, if you want to start today to get released from your prison, you made a good choice to listen to this program. Bob, as Matthew said, when he felt that, it really is an interesting arrangement that God set up here, that through Christ we can be forgiven and get a fresh start, another chance, and it's not like these things are held against us. It's a clean sheet of paper, isn't it?
You know, I was thinking even this morning about how I think that there's so much misunderstanding about, and I'll use the terminology we're most familiar with, you know, what does it mean to be a Christian? And I think, you know, some people have just been either taught something that is faulty or have created some sort of an image, which I think culture does, whether it's television or movies or whatever, that that being a Christian is some sort of a kind of a strange thing, and you're just they're just hypocrites. But the image has to do, I think, so much with external behaviors and the things you do or don't do. But the reality is that when you look at what it is that God offers us, I don't understand how anybody, if you really understand it, why would you say no to this deal? Because it's the greatest deal ever offered. And that is that Christ has taken all of our sin. He's taken all of the things that we've done that have, have failed for us to be the kind of men and women God wants us to be. I'm sitting here thinking I'm a criminal. I just didn't get caught, or I just, criminality wasn't of a measure that I was incarcerated, but I was a liar. I was a manipulator. I mean, you go down the list, and if you get real honest with yourself, something's really wrong. And for God to take all of that and say, hey, here's the deal. I'm going to take that on myself. I'm going to take the cost for you to be forgiven and what you should actually be experiencing. And I'm going to take all of that. And when Jesus goes to the cross, it's all going to be put on him. And that on the cross, that Christ, he paid the price completely for us to now have a relationship with God where not only are we forgiven, but that this piece of us that's missing. And I think that that's, what keeps hitting me is that all of us have something missing, something wrong apart from Christ. And it's like a vacuum in our life. And when sort of the deck gets cleared because what Christ has done, and we're willing to open our life like Matthew did, kind of crying out, help, and we're just willing to say, God, come, come into my life. You fill this missing piece that the living God actually comes and indwells us and puts that missing piece back in place, and our life suddenly can be totally different. Now, and it's all grace. It's nothing we do. It's all what he's done, and all he asks is for us to say yes to it. Why would you turn that down? And I think oftentimes it's because we just don't understand that's the deal. It's a deal that literally is too good to be true.
I think pride and ignorance. Yeah. That's why we turn it down. Yeah. We don't get it. It's too good to be true. And then we're also, especially men, I don't want to say, I am sorry, I was wrong, I'm going to turn another direction. But you did it in a prison cell, didn't you, Matthew?
Yep, and it's that missing piece that Bob was talking about is what keeps us in prison on the outside here, too. Once I received that piece, once I received Christ, I had never been so free. I'm in this tiny little cell at a place called DRDC, and I was the freest man I've ever been in my entire life. And that's what Christ does for you. That's the saving grace that you get right there.
I felt the same thing. And actually, Chuck Colson felt the same thing. I got to know him a little bit through my prison experience, and he and I compared notes later saying, what gets it so complicated out here? Is it the pace of life or the demands that are placed on us, the responsibilities? And we really couldn't come up with the answer because it's just the distractions, I think, Bob, too, that keep somebody from saying, well, wait a minute, explain that again. That sounds simple. I say yes. I get that. I get a relationship with God through Christ. That seems pretty good.
And you get peace all the time. I mean, I'm always peaceful. It's...
Yeah, and I would just encourage, men and women that are listening this morning, and maybe this, doesn't quite all make sense. One thing that was real helpful for me and for a lot of people I know was someone just said, hey, why don't you just get a Bible and start reading the Gospel of John? And I can remember that, I'd never read the Bible before, so I didn't even know what it was I didn't believe. But the Gospel of John is simply the story of Christ. And for me, it was really in process of reading that things began to click and come together until kind of a moment. And again, sometimes it's a long process, sometimes it's a moment. But for me, that moment came when I just had this, I call it a rare moment of clarity, where I knew this is all true, and I've got a choice to make. And for me, the choice was, again, relatively simple. Why would I not do this? And to, ask Jesus, come into my life. I want to live for you. So Gospel of John, I just encourage folks to get a hold of a copy of the Bible and just start reading it.
If you don't want to read the whole book like Matthew did, just read the Gospel of John, New Testament. And if you don't want to read the whole book of John, read the third chapter and read it a few times. And don't listen to us. Listen to what that says.
And if you don't want to read the whole third chapter, just read verse 16.
Really?
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would have eternal life. And
so when you see that guy at the baseball game that's holding up the sign, 316, that's exactly what he's referring to.
It is. He's got the big rainbow hair going, doesn't he?
He does sometimes.
So let's wrap this up by saying some more things you guys do. I know you're involved in a lot of stuff, and then we'll close again with Cloverton and how people can buy a ticket.
Well, some of the great things we're doing over at Encompass, Encompass is a ministry that helps single mothers and fatherless kids. And in the urban area. So we're located in Five Points. So we minister right to the people we're trying to help in the areas that we're trying to help. We have wonderful projects. One's called the Living Water Project that we're putting together, which is just helps single mothers with whatever their need is. We'll call them up. We'll find out, what is your need today? I mean, what you need, a new refrigerator? I mean, what do you need? And they'll give us their needs, and we'll go find it. We'll go find what that need is, and we'll fill it. We have a great mentoring program going there with a lady by the name of Zenzel Carr. She's wonderful. She takes these mothers in. She helps them. One of the things we're doing next week, we're not going to do that next week, so I guess I shouldn't talk about that next week.
It's all right.
What was that you were going to do next week?
Keep jumping around.
But we do fun things like we take kids out to racetrack, and, we do free oil changes for mothers. So, we do fun things like that.
And how does somebody contact you on that?
Just our website's encompassdenver.org. You can go there and just see all the things that we do through Encompass, which is a lot these days. So we're having some fun with it.
And?
Back to the concert.
Yeah, I was going to say, same thing. Now, how about this concert?
Yeah,
let's go. Is this at Colorado Community Church, Bill?
I've heard about this place. Yeah. I love CCC and their building.
And we're also, we're doing a VIP dinner with the band, too. It's a free concert, so anybody can come. It's free for general admission. But we're doing a VIP program where you can come in and have dinner with the band and meet the band, and they'll do some acoustical songs for us before the show and just find out what it's like to be a Christian band on the road. And it's just a great event. We can't wait for it.
And I am not singing, but you are. That's good. Boy, what is wrong with me? September 29th, 7 o'clock. So what time is the pregame dinner?
We start at 5 o'clock with the VIP dinner.
And info on that at this same website, EncompassDenver.org?
No, we're doing this for a Strong Tower Ministry.
Okay.
But there's a website for a magazine that we have called The Rock Magazine. So you go to readtherock.com, which will give you all the information on the concert.
Read the Rock.
We searched high and low for that website name. Took us many, many months. But
this is a Thursday night, the 29th, isn't it?
Thursday, the 29th.
Is that a Colorado Community Church?
I think it is.
All right.
3651 South Colorado Boulevard. Matthew, you're a great guy. Blessings. I know your strength is in Christ. You've been lifted, cleaned, and placed into service for Him. So, hooray, my friend.
Well, God bless you, gentlemen. Thank you for having me today.
Thanks for coming. It was great to have you.
And thanks for listening, folks. We'll see you next week right here on KOA.